Fixing verse 12, I think, is where we ended up last week. And that word pale, do you remember what pale mean? Pale? Meryl? Okay. Pale.
What was that?
Pale.
I didn't hear what she said.
She's trying to think, she said. Pale. Wrestling in close quarters. That's what it means, pale. Wrestling in close quarters. By the way, we have the book of James. It's $15 to take the class, and you get the book. That's what they charged me for the book, to give it to the people. If you want those, you can have them. Let's have a little word of prayer before we get started. Brother David, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, what it is a privilege to come before you in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for all the people that have gathered here this evening to hear your word being preached. Lord, we just ask that you be with Jim and help him to impart his knowledge upon us, that we might take it and give it to others during the week. Lord, just help us to be able to witness to others and to spread your good news around, Lord. There are so many that are without your word, without knowledge of you, that are not willing to come to you, Lord. It just grieves our hearts. Family members are out there that don't know the Lord. We just ask that you would use your Holy Spirit to work into their lives and to bring them to you. Lord, we just ask these things in your
name. Amen. All right. 6 and verse 13. Heard a wild buffalo out there.
The Tonka.
The Tonka. Yeah. Maybe a few go walk on, too. I don't know. Or a wombling. 6:13. Yeah, 6:13. Yeah, dia tuto. Ana la bete. Saying, she's reading this. Do you get to hear her before I'm saying it? That's pretty good, isn't it? She's ahead of me tonight. Panoplion. Tu. Diu. Dina. Dinathete. Antistene. Hem. Te. Chimera. Te. Panera. Kai. Hapanta. Kater ga so minoi. And stene. Cross reference to this. Brother Mike, did you get a book of James yet?
Yeah, I did.
Well, you did. All right. Cross-reference to this is James 4 and verse 7. See, you're responsible for this. The Lord wanted me to teach the book of James because the other ones had all faded away. Your book of James is the only one that had enough ink on it to copy it. Ephesians 6 and 11, Ephesians 5 and 16. Diatupo and 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. Diatuto means because of this or through this. I think the best thing would be because of this, the best way. And then, ana labete. Ana labete. Now, we've been talking about the powers of evil, haven't we? And not to underestimate the power of the devil. And the Lord tells us that there are many evil spirits out in the world. And we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. Now, how do you stand, because of all this, how do you stand against the evil that we live in and among and water in every day?
Like it says in verse 11.
Uh-huh.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor of God. All right. The whole armor of God. And it says, because of this, pick up or take up. Ana is up, isn't it? And lambano, the receive up. Pick up the complete panoplion, the whole armor. The whole armor of God. All of it. Don't leave anything behind. We're going to enumerate all of the items that a child of God needs to overcome the world. Because the world can't overcome you, can it? Hmm? Oh, it can. We have lots of foes in the world, don't we? Well, we talked about them, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and sometimes even illness can slow you down for your in your service to God. And that's something you can't get around. My mother, she had to be rushed to the hospital in an ambulance last night. She had had an angiogram, and her artery broke loose last night. She almost bled to death. She was looking forward to being here today. Well, she can't. She's laid up. The old body is laying down. Remember her in your prayers, too.
Did you get her patched up?
Well, yeah, she's home. They told her to stay home for 3 days. She can't even go to sister. That's really a problem. That's a real one. All right, take up. And it's second person plural, second aorist, imperative active. Imperative mode means what? Do it. Do it. It's a command. In the book of James, we're going to see gobs of commands. And this is one of the commands. If we want to be successful, children of God, then this is something that we need to do. Pick up. Second aorist. Remember what kind of second aorist. There's first aorist and second aorist. All right. What's the second aorist mean? What's the idea of the action? That aorist is a tense in Greek. Okay? It's how something is made. How does it take place? All right. Aorist is punctiliar action.
In other words,
remember
do
that.
It now.
Huh?
Do it now.
Well, it means it happens. All right. Now. Has anybody had to resist the devil today? Has anybody here had to resist the devil today? I had a little problem with him about 20 or 30 times today, is all, but a few times. Any of us, we have trouble with the devil, and we have to resist him. Well, punctiliar action, first aorist means like point action. Second aorist means a little bit longer period of time, but it's punctiliar. We have to do it all the time, don't we? It just happens. Pick up the panoplion, the whole armor, the complete armor of the God. Of course, who's it belong to there? Genitive, singular, masculine. It's belonging to God. In order that, hina, that little word, hina means in order that. Dinathete. Dinathete. What's that word dinathete come from? Do we have anything in English that equates to that? I have to make my D look like Greek. Get my Greek and dynamite.
Dynamite.
That dynamite comes right straight out of this word. Dynamis.
I know too there that before the tape there is no object. So that makes it a command.
Well, now this one here.
You take?
We take up the whole armor of God in order that ye might be powerful enough.
Now, is that in the Greek, the ye?
Oh, yeah, second person plural.
Okay,
it's ye, second person plural.
The way it's printed here, it has no object.
Okay. Now, this is what... this is a verb, but let's look at the verb, because it's very important. First of all, it's first aorist. First aorist. Now, here we are, the first aorist. Right. In each individual time, first aorist, it's there, it's punctiliar, it's active. Now, where does the armor come from?
God.
Okay. Now look at this verb. See, in Greek, I told you I believe that the Word of God is absolutely inspired in every tense, mode, and voice. Everything. Now let's look at it. If I believe that, I'll be able to show you, huh? So now let's look at it. All right? The tense. Aorist tense. We have to do this often, don't we? It's punctuary action, but we have to do it occasionally. Second person plural. That's you all. Okay? Now, passive voice. What in the world can the passive voice tell us? Where does it come from? Where does the power come from?
Not from us.
Not from us. It comes from God. That you might be caused to be able. Caused. Look at the caused. Caused. All right, passive voice. All right? Now you understand? Is it theologically coming out from the original language? That you might be caused to be powerful enough. All right? And it's subjunctive voice. Okay, subjunctive voice, what's that mean? Sometimes do we fall into sin? Do we fall into temptation? Do we fall in? And that's what happens then. Why do we fall into temptation and sin? Because we didn't do it. All right. Now, it's subjunctive voice. Now, the Calvinists won't like this one at all, Brother Wally, because that's the maybe mode. That's the mode of doubt for affirmation. It's what we call the maybe mode. You may or you may not. Now, if you were a robot, you wouldn't have this mode here. You'd just, it'd just take place. All right? See, they got to throw these modes away.
The Calvinist has a robot.
Yeah, they're robots. Well, see, this tells you that you're an individual with volition. All right? An individual volition. Now, every time in the Bible, I've showed you this over and over again, every time in the Bible when it comes to serving the Lord, it's in the, you might do it. You may do it. God makes you able to do it, but you've got to trust in Him, and you've got to put your heart in His hands and your mind. All right? That you might be able to his antistene. Second aorist, infinitive active. Infinitive means what? Something you just keep on doing, to do. All right? That means to stand. Two, that's a long two. It just keeps on going. Two stand. All right? Second aorist, infinitive and active voice. You're doing it, aren't you? You're doing it by the power of God, but you, your volition, you see that? The volition is there. In the day. In te hemera. In the day. And then it says, te ponera. What in the world is ponera? Any of you ever have evil days? Any of you ever have evil temptations?
Perversion.
Yeah. Well, but this twisted world gets us involved and tangles us up. Boy, there's some good stuff here later on as we go on to it. It's going to tell you how it's going to entangle you. But the twisted world tries to entangle you constantly. And, yes?
Question here. I think it's human nature. You say, I won't do it. And you end up doing it.
Yeah.
Now, how does that fit here?
Well, you didn't trust God. You didn't follow the rules.
When
we fail, we have dropped the armor.
He says with his unbelief.
If we believe in God and believe Him to trust Him, we will do it. And we're going to get right there. We're going to have belief in here too. That trusting. We have to trust God and we have to look to Him always. Our rules should never change. No matter what happened, I don't care where you are, if you're out with your friends and they're going the wrong way, your rules, your standards, your boundaries should never change. They should still be the same because your rules, your boundaries come from where? God. Let's go on. Stape. Un. Perizosominoi. I know this is hard because this is capitals, okay? Tain. Ostein. Himon. And Aletheia. Kai. In this Samanoatoin. Deraka. Tais. Dikaios Sune. Let's go back and look at it. Ye stand through, or therefore, through all of this, or therefore. Ye stand. If you're going to stand, Second person plural, secondary, is imperative, active. Now, it can be an imperative or subjunctive. I believe here it is in the imperative. All right. Ye stand, therefore. Peraso menoi. Now, this word means to put your clothes on. Put them around you. I think a child of God ought to have clothes on when we're out in public. Ought to have clothes on. When we're out in public, we ought to have Christ on, shouldn't we? Oh, we should. Second aorist. It's nominative plural masculine. First aorist, that is, participle, and what voice is it in? Here we go to the volition again, middle voice. You do it for yourself. Stand, imperative, and you do this because of your volition. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart, He prompts you to try to do the right thing, doesn't He? That's what makes your mind think that, oh, I'm doing the wrong, I'm in the wrong place right now. And then it says, throwing around, and it's a, having thrown around is what it literally says. If you wanted to translate it correctly, you can write that down. Having thrown around the loin of ye in truth, and having tied on the breastplate of the righteousness. Romans 13 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, Luke 12, 35, 1 Peter 1, 13, Ephesians 6, 13, Isaiah 11, 11, 5, and 59, 17. This is where all these quotes come from, by the way. Luke 12, 35. These all talk about this very subject here. Ye stand, therefore, having tied up your clothes around you. Now, you have to go back to the people at this time to understand how we dress a lot differently today than they did. If they saw you dressed like you are, they would think you were some kind of Martian. We look at them and we think, boy, that's a weird looking way to dress. Because they dressed in dresses, the men and the women both did, in dresses. And they had skirts, long skirts. They hung all the way to the ground. Now, today we'd have pants on. But then they put these dresses on robes, is what they called them. And they had underwear on. They had a diaper-looking thing on and tunics, so to speak, like long johns sometimes. Some of them had, if they were rich enough, they could get something like that. And whenever they got ready to do something strenuous, they had to throw the robe off, like Peter did at the Sea of Galilee. Remember when he looked and said he was naked? Well, he had his underclothes on. He wasn't naked. But he took off his outer garments. Girding around yourself of the line of truth. We need to put on truth. We ought to be able to be trusted in whatever we say. We ought to be able to be trusted. You should be a trustworthy person. I remember when I worked for a company one time, I had the bad habit, regardless of what the overseers, the upper crust said, I just told customers the truth. And they said, come in, I need this today. And I said, well, I can't get it for you today. I won't be able to fix this probably until, this is Monday, maybe till Friday. But I'll get it out as soon as I can. If I get it quicker, I will tell you. And we will expedite it. They didn't want us to say that. We say, we'll get it today or tomorrow. So you can get the piece of machinery in there and tear it up so they can't take off with it. That's it. All right? Well, I told the people the truth. And I said, you can go over here, son and son. You can go over here and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But they're going to have the same problem we got. Because we have to get the parts, and the parts come from here, and it takes so long to get the parts. We'll get them overnight. If you want to pay the shipping and all this stuff that you really want, you need this, then it's going to cost you some X amount of dollars. And they said, don't do that. Just tell them you'll do it, get it tomorrow. then you've got mad hens on your hand, you know. They'd be madder than a wet hen. Because you lie to them. There's no excuse for that as far as I'm concerned. When you know better, you don't lie to a customer. Because the customer's not going to trust you the next time. Well, I told them the truth. And different people would come in there, different big companies, that they needed a piece of machinery. And they said, I want to talk to Jim. Because I know he's going to tell me the truth. Because they were really, you know, if they needed the equipment, they really needed to be able to trust somebody to tell them the truth when they could get it back. Well, they got to where they didn't want to talk to anybody but me at all. And the bosses were jumping down my neck. The owner of the company, why are you doing this? I said, do we have the business? Yeah. But they don't want to talk to anybody but you. Then I said, we need to change some policy here. Then no. Yeah, you're going to have to lie like the rest of us. I said, no. Maybe you ought to tell the truth like me. It works. Be able to be trusted. You've got to be able to be trusted. You've got to be an honest theologian when you teach the Word of God. If it goes the wrong way sometimes, and sometimes, you know what? We can open up this piece of Scripture and it may look like it goes the wrong way. Huh? We have to be honest about that and say, what? I don't know about this one. I don't know. Ever heard me say, I don't know? Yeah. Brother Bill, I told him, I don't know here a while back. He looked at me and said, I'm ashamed of you. He said, I expect you to tell me this. I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know nobody else does either. I will say that. I don't care what they say. Some things we just don't know. The loins. Now, this is these loins here are part of the male anatomy. These are literally his testicles. Okay, if you want to write that down someplace, that's literally Greek and Hebrew is very straight about what they say. All right? Cover up our loins, pull our clothes up around us, get our underwear on. All right? In the truth, there are some really explicit things in the Word of God. When you come across things like this, sometimes you just have to say it. In the Old Testament, it talks about this because these were the male anatomy, and this is what produced children. Okay? When they swore in the Old Testament, when Abraham's servant put his hand on his thigh, he was putting his hand on this. All right? Now today, that would be real weird. Okay? But back then, this is exactly what they did. You have to understand the customs of the day. To us, we would say, boy, those were something wrong with those people. No, that's what they did.
They were swearing by their manhood.
That's right. They were swearing by their manhood. They were telling the truth. They were swearing by their children. That would come from their what? Loins. All right. Their male reproductive organs. And having tied in the breastplate of righteousness. Now you need to tell the truth, all right, but then you need to be what? Righteous. Righteous. First of all, you have to have the righteousness of Christ, don't you? After you have the righteousness of Christ in your life, then what happens? God starts changing your outward behavior toward other people. When people look at you, I got a beautiful note in the mail today from a person a long way off. I had been trying to help this person, and she wrote a note to me and said, thank you very much for being a Christian and guiding me and helping me and acting like what I think Christ should have done. And that's what I'm supposed to do. What I'm supposed to do. The breastplate, the raka, of righteousness. These are all very important things. In a child of God's life, Brother Dave.
It says of the righteousness and the of the that's referring to the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Why does it sort of seem why is it feminine?
Because that's just the way it is. Actually it's righteousness is feminine. Okay. All it is a feminine word. It doesn't mean that it's in gender feminine. It just means the word is feminine. Tree or something like that would be feminine. there are male trees and female trees. There are male plants and male and female plants, but they just look at them in one word, and that's the way it's looked at. All right. Yet a child, when Jesus was called a child, he was neuter. That area of childhood, they did not look upon them as male or female at all. They were just a child. Okay? The child. All right? The it. Okay? You didn't come, a child did not become a man or woman until when? They come to the age of puberty. Otherwise, they were just its. All right? So, this is how this works out. A Greek is, and even Hebrew is very plain when it comes to stuff. A child, really, is not a girl or a boy until it comes to the age of maturity, is it? It's just it. They're not, they shouldn't be looking for boyfriends and girlfriends when they're 6 years old. If they do, then somebody told them to do that. Because that's your body's not going to tell you to do that, is it? Something wrong. Watching too much television. All right, 6 and verse 15. Are you enjoying this? Are you learning something from this? All right. And I brought these things out. It's embarrassing for me to say some things like that, but I said, if I run over that, I have missed the point. But it's really there. Time. Hippo de salmonoi. Tus, podos, in, etoi masin, tu, yuang geliu, face, arenes. All right. Now, I want you to look at your shoes for a minute. How many of you have tie shoes or buckle shoes? Look down at your feet and raise your hand. How many of you have shoes that tie or buckle?
Tie.
All right. That all shoes at one time tied or buckled. You know what shoes are? You know what they're literally called in Greek? Underbinders. 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 Something that you bind underneath your foot, between your foot and the ground. So it's bound under. So when you tie your shoes or whatever, you bind the thing under your feet. Even though we put our foot in them right now. Brother David's got some underbinders on. Those are real underbinders right there. All right? They're real, genuine, antique underbinders. Because the vice there is tied under his foot by using his foot to tie it onto. All right? Underbinders. Having a bound under the feet, all right, in the readiness. All right, this word readiness says it means to be ready, to be aware. Now, when I was young, during all the time of the year that you didn't have to have shoes on your feet, I didn't. We were barefooted most of the time of the year, especially in California. We didn't start wearing shoes until we had to go to school. My sister, I don't know whether they couldn't hardly ever put shoes on her. She was like a wild horse. Every time my stepdad, every time they got ready to go on vacation, says, Marcus, where are your shoes? She hadn't looked at them. Hadn't put them on her feet, not even in the wintertime. She wouldn't put shoes on. So they had to find her shoes before they could go on vacation, but there was places, no shoes, no shirts, no service. Well, so they had to put her shoes on. We need to be aware that there's stickers out there. There's thorns. There's cacti. There are bugs. How many of you ever stepped on something that bit you? Yeah. All right. Sting. Bite. All right. All kinds of stuff out there. Now, the Lord is using a parable here in all reality. He's telling us some realities. Now, what did a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. And what was it? Who was the sower? It was the God, Son of God. What was he sowing?
The
seed.
The seed, but what was the seed? What did the seed represent? The Word of God. Now, that's a parable. That's what we call a parable. It's called a parabole. To throw something physical that you can understand besides something spiritual that will help you, the physical will help you understand the spiritual element of it. Now he's talking about going to war, going to battle. Now, even Indians put moccasins on their feet when they went to war. People, when they go out to fight a battle, you don't want to be hopping around on one foot, stepping on thorns or whatever. Besides that, what would the enemy do? They'd put cactus out there in your way. They put thorns out there in the way. They put hot coals of fire on the ground. Now, if you didn't have your underbinders on, what would happen?
You would be
hopping on one foot and then the other foot. Some of the old Laurel and Hardy, remember when they threw tacks out on the road and stuff like that, and people would be bouncing around all over tacks? Yeah. They'd do that. They'd do something that would hurt your feet. So you had to have your feet protected. What are some of the thorns and thistles and bugs and isms that get you today? The lust of the eyes. Huh? The pride of life. And what else? Yeah, and the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What still gets you today? Those are the things that get you. So what do you need to do? You need to just go right out there and just wallow right in it? The Lord says stay away from it.
Put on your underbinders.
That's right. Put on your underbinders. Gird up your loins with truth. Know who you are. Be a man about it. That's what it said in the last verse. Or woman. The readiness. Be constantly ready. Alacrity. Alacrity, that is. Of the good news. Be ready. Your mind should be ready. You should have one of your sword near you, or else in your head, one or the other. The good news of the peace. Good news of peace. There's an old movie that I really like. It's so simple and it's funny. Sergeant York. Remember the movie Sergeant York?
I saw that the other day.
Yeah. Sergeant York. I think about that. And this guy who was a real rough character, Gary Cooper played this part. And he was a real rough character, getting a lot of fights and everything else. Well, the Lord saved him in this camp meeting. Well, people had cheated him out of stuff and done all kinds of stuff to him. This guy, he got in a fight over this girl and he was ready to give the girl to the guy. Well, the girl got pretty mad at him and was ready to cut his throat. Boy, she's shaking the butcher knife at him all the time. Don't you ever think about ever. I kissed you, guy. Don't you ever think that I'm going to change my mind now. I'm not made like that. He goes out to the guy that cheated him out of all of his mule and everything he had, and the guy is running away. He says, "Get away from me. Get away from me. Don't you come near." He is afraid of him. But God had changed his heart. And he said, "Well, I come back. I want to know if I can buy that mule from you. I need a mule." He's expecting him to bust him right upside the head. He was afraid of him. After he apologized to the man. He didn't owe him an apology. He didn't owe him an apology. The man owed him an apology, didn't he? Well, when God changes you, and that's a real simple little way that they did that, but when God changes your life, people become aware of it. They become aware of it. Because God really changes you. It changed him in that movie. It was just a movie, but that happens in real life. The guy was really a real person. Well, the Lord worked out all of his problems, but he had to change. And people just didn't believe it. Well, I heard you got religion, but I won't believe it until I see it, and I believe it now. So they started changing their attitude toward him. 6:16. Ephesians 6:16. Hi, girls. En passant.
En passant.
Anna Lambontes.
Anna Lambontes.
Ton. Therion. Tes. Fisios. En. Ho. Dinalestete. Panta. Ta. Bele. Tu. Poneru. Ta. Petu Romina. Space. Let's look at this now. In all, having taken up, in all things, having taken up the therion, the shield. Now that's a long shield that you could cover your, you could get behind it. The shield. Now, he's using, who was in power when Paul was writing this letter to the
Nero or somebody close to it.
Well, who was what was the country?
Rome.
Rome. All right. And how would Rome, when they would go in places, how would they go in as a fighting machine? Their whole army fought like one massive machine.
They hold their shields in front of them with shield.
Yeah. All right. They would put their shield to shield, lock their shields together, and go in. I don't care what they threw at them. Unless the only thing they could throw was hot water, boiling oil, or hot lead. It was about the only thing that would penetrate it because it would go in the cracks. But they would go just like one person, just like a mass of human flesh going forward. And they'd have their swords. And they'd put these shields, they'd lock them together over when they'd be throwing things down on top, rocks and everything else you could throw about them, arrows. And the fiery darts, you know, what they were, just arrows set on fire with pitch or oil. All taking up the shield of faith, pistios. Without faith, you just can't do anything, can you? Can you please God without faith? Can you please yourself without faith as a child of God?
No.
You're not going to be happy. Unless you trust in God, you're not going to ever be happy. In which, here's this word, dynamite again. All right, look at the word dynamite there. Dinasteste. Second person plural, future, indicative. And what voice is it in, Brother Wally there? What's that voice? Middle voice, isn't it?
Middle voice.
What does middle voice mean? That you have volition, doesn't it? You're not a robot. Now, if you were a Calvinist, if God was a Calvinist, he would put all this in the indicative and active voices. It wouldn't have anything to do with subjunctive or middle voice, would it? That she shall be enflowered and clothed in power. And that all the darts, the bele, the darts, missiles, arrows, how did they... They didn't have rifles back then, did they? But they would shoot stones at one another. What did David use to
slingshot.
A slingshot. All right. And they'd get a heavy object. Now, are there stones that are heavy?
Oh, yeah.
You ever been hit in the head with a rock? I remember one time, you see this eyeball, that eye right there? I used to like to go swimming in the canal in the summertime. Bakersfield's hot. And I'd go in the canal, and I'd go out swimming in the canal, and I was one time just swimming down, actually I was swimming up the canal against the current, going up, swimming on my back, just swimming along. And all of a sudden, something hit me in the head. Boy, I mean to tell you, everything just turned red. I just almost knocked me out. And these village idiots, all I can say, a bunch of other kids, little thugs, where I didn't hear them, I didn't see them, because I was swimming in my moments, as they picked up rocks and were throwing at me. And one of them hit me right here at my eyebrow and cut my eyebrow completely in two. I mean, one half of it was one way and one half of it was the other. That rock cut my flesh all the way to the bone. And you know, when you have a facial wound, you have a lot of blood anyway. Well, when they saw what they had done, boy, they took off running. I was ready to kill them. You know, I had to go to the doctor and get some stitches in my eye. That was a missile. It was a missile. And all it was, all they did was throw it by hand out there. Now, when you sling it, or when you put it in a throwing machine of some sort, and they had throwing machines back there, this happened. All right? Missiles. Darts. Arrows. Rocks. Pieces of metal. Well, they'd even get pieces of metal, and they'd put them, and they'd use a slingshot. And they would throw these things like bullets almost. Well, they do damage. They hurt people. Well, how do you stop them? With the shield of faith, in which you are empowered that all the darts of the Poneru, or Poneru, that is, who is this Poneru? The evil one. Who is the evil one? Not the devil. Now, we have trouble with that rascal every day, don't we? All the time. And then it says Ta there. Now, Ta is in brackets, so it's really not there, but it is there. It's a QC plural neuter. It's describing Pepuromenet. Okay?
Jim?
Yes?
Underneath the word for darts, you have balu. That's...
Bellows.
Bellows?
And it comes from balo. Balo. Yeah. It comes from bellows, and it comes from balo. Balo means what? To throw. All right, to throw. It means to cast or to throw. All right? The having been equipped with fire. In this thing we have a piro. Piro-o. Piro-o means to set on fire. So they had dipped these missiles, arrows, whatever, in the pitch and set them on fire. They had dipped them into crude oil or tar and set that on fire. And here they are throwing these. Well, the shields, if you have your shield up, this isn't going to touch you, is it? All right? Otherwise, you're going to get hurt. All right. The darts of the evil one, having been equipped with fire, all right, to put out or to extinguish. First arrows, infinitive acting. To put out. Stay base, say. All right? Our word asbestos comes from this word. All right. Now, when you're handling something like your welding, what do you have? You have to put gloves on to protect yourself, don't you? When we go out in the world, we have to have God's gloves on. We have to have God's armor on to protect us from the evil one. Because the evil one is going to thrash us if we're not protected, isn't he? All right. Now, 6 and verse 17. We're plugging along here. Just got to have a few more minutes left, and I hope my machines work. I don't know whether... I guess they are. Some of them are working anyway. Bound to be. Kai? Pain? Perikophalion. Two? Soteriu? I'm sorry about these words. They're spelled with capitals. Alright? And so that's why they're not so easy to read. Nextoste? Kai, Tain, Makarion, Tu, Pneumatos, Ho, Eston, Rhema, Theu. Now, not all of these words are capitalized because they weren't all in Hebrew. You had to translate it from one language to the other, sometimes you have to add a word. If you don't believe that, go into one of these restaurants or something, and in the bathroom, you'll see some words in Spanish, and you'll see a few words in English, and a lot of words in Spanish. Why? Because to say those few words, it takes more words sometimes in Greek and Hebrew. Hebrew was a very limited language, but sometimes it took more Greek words to explain what the Hebrew did. So now you've got an idea of why some of them are capitalized and some of them aren't.
Only the words that were translated directly from Hebrew are capitalized.
Yes.
Not the idea
or the explanation of it, okay? And the perikephale. The word kephale means head. The kephale. The cranium. We get that from that. And this means the shield around your head. Now, how many of you ride a motorcycle or a bicycle? You're supposed to have a helmet on if you ride a bicycle or a motorcycle, either one. What does a helmet do? protect your noggin. Do you have a helmet for your bicycle? Do you have a bicycle? Huh? Have a bicycle? You have to wear a helmet for the bicycle. If you fall down, you'll hit your head. You know, sometimes you don't have to be going very fast to sister's husband got killed a week ago riding a motorcycle doing less than 10 miles per hour, just barely going out. He didn't have a helmet on, and the motorcycle fell over, and he hit his head, and he went into a coma, and he never showed any signs of life at all. He finally died. Down by me used to be Wattenberger's lumber company and all of this. There was a guy there that went out and just after World War II, and he bought him a brand new motorcycle. He just got it that day on his lunch hour when he got ready to go home out of the Wattenbergers. He went out there and hit a stone and turned over and hit his head on the rock and killed him right there in the parking lot. Never went anyplace. Helmets are very important. They're very important. There was a guy, a football player or something here a while back, I heard that went out and had a wreck on a motorcycle. Didn't have a helmet on.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, whatever his name is. It didn't kill him, but I guess it hurt him pretty bad.
He's a hard-headed.
A hard-headed guy. Hard-headed football player or something. We need a shield around our head. Now, what is this shield? What is
a helmet?
Helmet of salvation. What is the most vulnerable part of your body? Your head. Why? That's where your brains are, where your eyes are, where your hearing, that's your teeth. When people start getting in a fight, where they start beating on each other? Right on the head. Because that's a fatal blow. You can knock somebody out or whatever, kill them by hitting them in the head.
You know what hockey players do when they fight?
What?
They take their helmets off.
Oh, they take their hats real intelligent. Real intelligent.
And drop their gloves.
Yeah. Well, in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, last week we talked about Genesis, third chapter, it said that I will put enmity between you and the woman, that's Satan and the woman, and between her seed, Christ, and your seed, Antichrist, and you shall deal him a crippling blow, but he shall deal you a blow as to the head, a death-dealing blow. That's what it said. The blows to the head are death-dealing blows. So, first thing we need to meet the world is to be saved. The world's going to win anyway. You're a dead man if you're not saved. As simple as that. We need the helmet around the head. That's what this means. We need the shield around the head of salvation. And then it says, take up for yourself, middle voice, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. Rhema to you. Alright? Rhema. That word Rhema. Now, when Jesus, in the book of John, the first chapter, it says, in beginning, kept on being the whole Logos. Now, this isn't Logos here, is it? What is it? It's Rhema. What does Rhema mean? It literally means to flow. A flowing. Okay? That's what it literally means. But the idea here is, it is an edict. A complete commandment of God. The Bible. In other words, when Moses represented God to Israel, what did he give them? The Word, the Rhema of God. Alright? The Word of God. As it stood. In Greek, or in Hebrew, it's very beautiful. Dabar is the word in Hebrew. And Hebrew is a limited language, so it's a little different than Greek. But Dabar means, it means words that are put together, like this, okay? It means words that are put together and lined up. It means fence posts, it means soldiers, whatever. But it also means the commandments of God, the bar, the commandment, the Word of God. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, says, and the word of God came through Jeremiah the prophet. All right, the word of God, the edicts, the total edicts, yes. No. Aleo means the ability of human speech to speak. Okay, logos, it has the idea a little bit of the bar in the Old Testament, because it means to line up one thing behind the other. It means to pick out. All right, Lego means to pick out, where you pick out language and put it in a row where you can understand it. Well, that's a little bit like the bar, but here we have rail. This is a completed package. All right, the completed package. All right. Well, we're on 17. We only have a few more verses in the. We're on 18 before we're going to start next week. And we're going to get into the book of James.
Jim?
Book of James, yes.
When Christ returns, the sword protruding from his mouth in Revelation, is that referring to the Word?
Yes, the Word of God. How did God create the world?
By
his breath, by speaking into existence. How is he going to win those battles?
All scriptures are God-breathed.
Yes, all scriptures are God-breathed. And he will, by the sword of his mouth, as a figure of speech, literally mean that he will speak it into existence. He will say, be struck down, and they will be struck down. We talked last week on Sunday morning, we talked about the flood that the Antichrist sent after Israel when she was escaping to the safety zone, and the flood. And then what did God cause to drink up the flood? The great armies? The earth itself. The earth drank up the blood. Or the flood. Okay? And it's figurative language. It just means that he will speak it into existence. It's good to have you girls here tonight. I know you're wanting to get on this this board here and get with it. There are decorators. Anna and Emma. All right? There's two sisters, as you can tell, anyway. all right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll let them go to work. And thank you here for being here and enduring those hard seats again tonight. Brother Harold, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for having protected us. We thank you for your armor. We ask you that you would allow our loved ones to take that armor off for themselves and to fight the wiles of the devil. Bless us now as we go our several ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.